Our church has been blessed to be able to have interns, and those interns will come and stay with us. And when the Lord opened up our Joshua house over here next door, we knew that that's one thing we'd want to continue on, and so we made the downstairs its own living quarters so that our interns could stay down there. And we didn't know this would happen, but as the Lord would bring things around, one of my closest friends in all the world is Brian Bussey, and he pastors out in Illinois, and he's from West Virginia. We both served in the church there where I'm from originally, and so we've been friends for many, many years, and I've watched the young man behind me. I've watched Braden grow up. I mean, ever since he was born, I've known him all of his life. And so the Lord has used him in a special way as he's come up, and his dad's churches that he's pastored, he's done pretty much everything that can be imagined as the pastor's kid. That's just the way it goes. And some years ago, though, the Lord put a call on his life to preach the gospel and to continue to serve in the Lord with his life. And so we were so excited back when that happened. And this family has done a lot of input into Braden's life. And so he plans to go to Bible college, Lord willing, over here to Crown College coming up this fall. And I would love for, I'm glad about that. He's close to us, but he's done a phenomenal job, as I knew he would. He's just 18 years old, but you think it's not intimidating to come preach. I get a little nervous sometimes with myself when I'm up here, and I'm 51. So if I was 18, I'm sure I would have been. But he is going to do a great job, and I'm thankful for him. And the Lord has really used him here at our church, and we're thankful that God brought him our way. But now I'm also glad to get you to hear him come preach. And so, Braden, you come preach to us. We're looking forward to it very, very much. And we'll thank the Lord for what he gives us.
Thank you, sir. All right, well, praise the Lord. And this thing works, so that's good. Well, I'm going to have you turn to two places. If we go to Exodus, chapter number 16, and then Numbers 11. If you only want to choose one, that's fine. So I'll leave that up to you. But I do want to say thank you for letting me preach. And I don't take it lightly. And like you said, I am 18. And so it is a little risky. But I do appreciate you letting me get up here and show what the Lord has. And I also want to say thank you for the past, I don't know, 2.5 months or so. And I've learned a lot. I've done a lot. My dad's been a pastor. And I thought I'd done everything, but then I interned. And so I found that there's jobs that interns can do. And so I'm really thankful that I got to be here. And you guys, I can really see, you can't say this about every church, but you really made it feel like home, even though you knew I was only going to be here for a short while. And I wasn't just temporary. You guys really made a difference, and I've seen a lot of answers to prayer, and I've seen a lot of growth just in just me, maturity and spiritual, and I've had to deal with a lot of things by myself. You know, I didn't have my dad to help me fix my car. That was on me, and so I've had to learn a lot and do a lot of things and step up, but I know it's been amazing. And I know that this will help me in when I go into the ministry and what I plan to do. And so I hope that I can really just help you tonight. And this is a message that I wrote when I left my home church. And it applies to you the same. You know, when you think about, I've been here for 2.5 months. And if there was a word that I could take away from 2.5 months. Now, don't take this negatively, okay? The word would be overwhelming. Overwhelming, which is a lot of times a very negative word, which it can be. But for me, I would say it's overwhelming in a positive way. Overwhelming by blessings, overwhelmed by love, and people who really wanted to make a difference in my life. And so I want to preach on that tonight. Exodus chapter number 16. We're going to start here in, verse number 11. Verse number 11, and we'll read a couple verses here. And it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing." Now, that can be up to your discretion on what you think that is. A lot of people say biscuits, donuts, I'll let you decide. I personally think it was a donut just because that's what I'd be excited for. And I think the Lord knew that too. But let's keep on reading. It says, "As small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Now, this is a very interesting passage, but stick with me. If you're in Numbers, if you decided to choose that one, Numbers chapter number 11, verse number 5, and it says, "We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now, listen to this, but now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." Look at this turn here that we see in two books. They went from excitement of how exciting it was that the Lord had placed this food in the middle of the desert that was free for them to eat every morning to now, they say here, verse number 6, "But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." Now it's disappointing to them. And so the title of my message tonight is, "Why are they underwhelmed?" Why are they underwhelmed? You know, I like to give the Israelites a hard time. You know, I've learned about them since 9 months before I was born. I know a lot about the Israelites, but we like to give them a hard time and act like they really just, you know, why can't they just be content? Why can't they just, you know, the Lord's given them all these things. They did the Red Sea, not even to do with the plagues, but then they get to the desert and they don't have water, so he provides water, and then they go a little further, they start complaining. It's like, we like to give them a hard time, yet we sit here underwhelmed. Think about the blessings that you've been given. That free gift of salvation, that church family that you have, the America that we live in, and yet we sit here underwhelmed by the gifts of God. Isn't that something? You know, I was just thinking about it. You know, when you think of overwhelming, you know, it's something that you can't even contain. It's going to show. There's going to be people. People are going to know that you're overwhelmed. You know, people are going to tell, hey, you know, maybe drink some coffee or sit down or figure something out because there's something wrong with you. And here, are you the kind of person where the excitement that you get from this Christian journey can be seen by everybody? Or do you walk in on Sunday morning and sit down and leave when they say it's time to go? And so the question tonight is, what to do when you're underwhelmed? What do we do when we're underwhelmed? You know, it's so easy to get stuck in a rut of the day-to-day, and, you know, we live in the best country on earth, and we have the nicest things and the best places. You know, I would personally say that Tennessee is better than Illinois. I do really like Tennessee. We live in a great spot, and that's why I'm choosing to go to college here, but obviously that's the Lord. But there's so many things that when you write it down, you could really go all day about how good God really is. He is really good, isn't he? And yet, we take it for granted. So first thing, what to do when you're underwhelmed. Number one, remember the Creator. It says in Genesis 1:1, "And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So we serve a God who placed the stars in the sky. He created the mountains and the plains, the oceans and the mountains. He's created it all. And he took time to put you exactly where you are. You are no accident. It says in Psalms 139, verse number 14, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." It sounds trivial. It sounds like something that you tell children. You know, God made you exactly how you were supposed to be made. And yet, it's still the same. God, think about how God placed you where he put you. You know, out of all the timeline, out of everything, you know, when you think about it, it kind of like makes you like frazz out because there's so much going on. But God placed you here. Think about that. He didn't have to. He didn't have to make you how he made you. He didn't have to give you the family that he gave you. I'm thankful for my family. I've got, you know, obviously a mom and dad, and then I've got an older brother and a future sister-in-law. They're getting married at the end of the summer. And then two younger sisters. One is 11 months younger than me, and the other one is 6. And I just think about it. I'm thankful that God gave me that family. He didn't have to, but I'm thankful that he did. And so the position that you were put in does play a part in who you are, and God knew that, and he put you there. Also, think about how it says in Jeremiah, verse number 1, it says, chapter number 1, verse number 5, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Think about that. Before there was even a thought that Braden Bussey was going to be here, God knew exactly how my life was going to go. And he knew that I would be here today. I don't know what the future holds. I just try to take it one step at a time. It says in Psalms that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I'm thankful that God has a plan for me, even though I can't see it. And so, when you think about all that, when you get underwhelmed, remember your Creator. You know, it says in Romans chapter number 14, verse 11, "Every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." There's going to come a day where it doesn't matter who you were or who you are, you're going to have to bow your knee to the Lord and Savior. the God of heaven, the God of creation. You know, it doesn't matter how much you did in this world. It doesn't matter who you were, who your parents were. It doesn't matter if you were Adolf Hitler. It doesn't matter if you were Stalin. It doesn't matter if you were Donald Trump. Whoever it is, they're going to have to come a day where they're going to have to take the knee and proclaim that our God is the King. Think about that. You know, it's kind of hard to stay underwhelmed when you think about how big God really is. So number one, what to do when you're underwhelmed, you need to remember your Creator. Number two, let's go over to Romans, please. Romans chapter number 5. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and I was just reading through it this morning. And it just puts plainly how much God really does love us. So Romans chapter number 5, we're going to read quite a few verses here, but I think it's good, so we will. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." This is a famous one. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Think about that. So number two, we went over, remember your Creator. Number two, remember your Savior and the sacrifice he made. Remember the Savior and the sacrifice you made. I want to put it this way. Think about what you deserve. Imagine if all you got on this Christian journey, all you got in your Christian life was what you deserved. If all you'd ever received was what you deserved. I can tell you there's only one thing and one thing only that we truly deserve, and that's death and hell. And so if you really put it down on paper, it gets a lot more real. Oh my goodness. The only thing that I deserve is absence from God and hell and fire forever. And so when you put it that way, that free gift of salvation is a lot more important. That free gift of salvation is a lot more serious. I'm really excited for us to go to England. I've never been out of the country, and I'm slightly terrified about flying over the ocean, but it'll be fine. But you know, you think about it this way, the gospel that was given to me, they're gonna need it over there too. So think about the Savior and the sacrifice he made. You know, it doesn't matter who we are, but who Christ has become through us. And so think about the grace that you've been shown. I'm glad that Christ thought of me, not because I'm worth it, but because he loves me unconditionally. Think about that word, unconditionally, without conditions or limits. Think about that. So number one, remember your Creator. Number two, remember your Savior and the sacrifice he made. Number three, I want to stay a little while on this one. Think about the word you've been given. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I have a Bible and a guidebook for life. So let's look at some things through the Bible that it says about itself. Isn't that awesome that when you have a question about the Bible can answer questions about itself? Whew, that was a tongue twister. So number one, what is the Bible? Number one, it's a mirror. It says in James chapter 1, verse 23, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face in natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." So number one, the Bible is a mirror. Number two, it says in Matthew chapter number 13, verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So number one, the Bible is a mirror, but it's also the seed for our salvation. And then it also says, and number next, it's water and fire. Is there any other book that you know that is both water and fire? Is there anything else that those two can be together? Well, it's the water because it cleans us and it purifies us, but it's the fire because it burns us a lot more times than not, doesn't it? You know, when you're reading through and you get to a certain spot in scripture and it's like, maybe I should just shut this because that hurt a little bit more than I thought it was going to. But I'm thankful that it is like that. It's also a lamp. It's also a sword and a hammer. You know, a sword is a weapon, something that can be used. But a hammer is a tool. Swords tear down and tools build up. And so just think about all the things that the Bible is. And so, you know, when you really put it down on paper and you think about the love of Christ, it is really overwhelming, isn't it? We like to give the children of Israel a hard time and like to complain when we're underwhelmed at the gifts that God gives us every day. But if we truly sit down and start thinking about our Creator or the Savior who died for us, and on top of that, the word that we've been given, how could you stay underwhelmed? Our God is so good, and people should see the difference in us as they should see the excitement that the love of Christ brings. I'm thankful that there was a Savior who loved me enough to save me. I'm thankful that there was a Creator who loved me enough to put me where I'm at. And I'm thankful that we have the guidebook for life. And, you know, it's so easy to get stuck in this rut of, well, you know, I really do have it made. I can be like that sometimes. I can't say I've lived a hard life. My parents are amazing. And my parents have been in the ministry ever since I was born. And I can't say that it's been a trial or anything, but I'm thankful for my family. And, you know, I came here not really, you know, thinking about it much, but I was just kind of like, well, that sounds fun. It sounds like something I want to do. And I learned a lot more than I thought I was going to. I learned a lot more than I thought I was going to. So I really, when I say I'm thankful for each and every one of you, I really mean that. And, you know, it's such a big church and there's so many people, but like I already said, you really did make it feel like home. And I really, really appreciate it. I don't take it for granted. So when we come back, you know, we have the Israelites here who at the beginning of this had seen this manna and it was something to be excited about. And then later, they're underwhelmed by it. Manna. Now, I don't know about you. I don't really get burnt out on food. I got a lot of gift cards. And so I wish I was joking. I really wish I was joking. But I did get a $100 gift card to McDonald's. Thank you to whoever that was. I really appreciate it. And I did eat it. I did a little, this sounds terrible, and I can't believe I'm saying this from the pulpit, but I had it every day for, oh man, I think the month of April. I just walk in and be like, hey, I'll just have my regular. I'll just sit down. So, but I thank you for that. That was huge. That was a big part of me making it through. And so if you want to do that again, come see me after. No, just kidding. But it was the little things sometimes that really, really made the difference, you know. And so I have a lot of stories, a lot of stuff. You know, my first day here, I locked myself out really bad. I figured it out, though, and I got back in. You know, just a lot of things, just, you know, Braden being an idiot, and it happens all the time. But I really, when I say I really have appreciated being here and I wish it was longer, I really do mean that. And so, like I said, I'll talk a little bit about it. I'm going to camp right after this. And so I told my church family when I left, the most important thing you can do for me, other than, this is kind of a side note, other than getting me gift cards, is prayer. And I really do mean that. I really think there's a difference when I tell my church family, hey, please pray for me. I really think that God works through that. I believe he does. And so I've got a church back home praying for me, and I know they are, and I know that it's made a difference through here, but I ask you as I go to the next place that you'll continue to pray for me. Write my name down, and I really think it makes a world of difference. I believe it does. And so if I can have the opportunity to ask you to do that, I would pray that you do. And so please pray for me as I figure out life and get through it. So I work at a camp, and it's, when he said it's for challenged boys, it's for boys who are terrible and are really have no love towards the Lord at all. They pretty much get to go to this camp, or they get to go to prison, or their parents can't deal with them. And so we bring them there for 3 weeks. And so I will need your prayer, and seriously, so please do. But thank you again. I really appreciate the opportunity to preach. Let's go ahead and pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. And Lord, I'm thankful for how good you are. And I'm thankful that you love us. And Lord, I just pray that when we really sit down and think about all the good things that you've done for us, Lord, we won't take it for granted. And Lord, I'm overwhelmed by your love and by how good you are. And thank you for everything you do. I just now pray. Amen.
As we continue to pray here for just a moment, I'm going to ask him just to play something through there whenever you find it. But here is the truth. You know, he started off a great truth that all of us need to hear, and that is that we get used to stuff. Something that was so powerful. You remember when you got saved? Maybe not just the night, but maybe the night. But I mean, in that season, as you just were so relieved that your sins were taken care of, Christ had saved you, you were so excited about this. You were, maybe it was a little longer before you got a church family and a camaraderie and all of these blessings. But then we can get like the Israelites as well on the last part of the story that he told. And I said, yeah, of course I got a church family. Of course I'm going to heaven. Yeah, of course I got all that. But we want more, more, more. We get underwhelmed. And that's a great message, Braden. And I hope that all of us would be thinking about this. Are we as thankful for what God's given us as we were at some other time in our life? Or was there a time when we were more excited about what God did in our life than we are right now? My friend, if that's true, that there was a time we were more excited than now, then we need revival. We just need to go back, pick up a little of those feelings, a little of those emotions, a little bit of those thoughts. You say, how do you do that? Well, you go back. You just do it by in your mind going back and say, Lord, thank you. Just as he preached, thanking him for the word. Thank him for how it works in your life. Thank for that Savior. As they continue to play, I hope that you'll pray tonight. Just have a little soul-searching time. And say, Lord, I want to be overwhelmed again. I want to be overwhelmed again by your goodness, your word, your workings. Christian, would you let that settle in on you? And then one last request is, if you're here and you're not sure that you're a Christian, you're not sure you're saved, can I tell you, my friend, that Jesus Christ wants to save you? Braden talked about growing up in a Christian home, but he had to do like everybody else did, grows up in a great Christian home, had to make it real for himself, had to accept Christ. If you need to tonight, would you just step out? Whoever's beside you will let you out, or they'll come with you. As they play one more verse here, if you need to come and pray, this altar's open for you. Whatever your need is. Thank you. You may look this way. Well, it's been a wonderful place to be tonight, and thank you for being a church that wants to encourage young people. Some of you would say, well, I've got grandchildren older than him. What can an 18-year-old teach me? But our church doesn't have that attitude, and I'm thankful to the Lord for that we see the youth and we see the need for them to get encouraged and we see the need for them to go forward for the Lord. So thank you for encouraging him. Thank you for encouraging me. And what a joy. Braden, you did a great job. Thank you for that. I'm going to ask you to slip on back to the lobby, and I hope that you will get by and meet Braden. Maybe you haven't met him yet, and before he leaves, I hope that you do. And I do. He means it. He wants you to pray for him as he goes back, especially this camp, or goes to this camp. It's a switchback, they call it, and as he mentioned, some of them are court order. They either go with this camp or they go to juvenile detention centers, and so he needs prayer, and the other workers do as well. But I challenge you to get to know him and pray for him, encourage him, and I'm thankful for what God's doing in his life. Well, let's all stand together. It's been a wonderful place to be. Thank you for being here. Please be in prayer tomorrow about 8:30, I think, is when the kids are flying, sometime around there. So be praying for them. Oh, we've got a missionary video. Which one is it, Jack? Who is that? Let's see. Let's just save it for next week. I'll tell Stephanie we won't have to find one for next week. We'll do it then. All right. Thank you for being in church tonight. What a joy to be here. It's just a thrill of my heart. And I was talking with somebody, Miss Johnson back there, about being difficult to get here on Wednesday nights. Not for me. I just work down the hall, so it's easy for me. But it's hard to get all those things worked together. But thank you for being here. Amen. It's not an easy thing for many of you, but it's a joy to be here. Thank you so much. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Showing the age now.
Uh-oh.
51, look out.
I know.